In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, today we continue saying, Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. But as we look at this gospel, we see the disciples after the resurrection. They're not quite rejoicing just yet. When you look at that congregation of them, that group of them, you find one who has denied he knew him. You have the rest of them running away from the crucifixion. And you have only one who stayed at the side of Jesus when he was crucified. So they're afraid. They've heard from the women that the tomb was empty. Peter even ran to see if it was true, and he came back believing something. But here they are, locked in a room, because they're thinking the Jews might be coming after us next. After all, they've seen us traveling with him. They know that we were part of his disciples. We're going to stay put for a while and see if things quiet down. And so they lock themselves in that room. And lo and behold, who should show up but Jesus? Can you imagine what must be going through their minds? Oh, what's he going to ask of us? How are we going to account for what we've done and not done? And Jesus decides to go a different route. He says to them, peace be with you. Peace. And when he speaks and says that, you can imagine that settled them down a bit. At least he didn't come in yelling at them or asking them to account for their actions. But instead, he wants them to be at peace. Because the next thing he does is really interesting and important. He breathes on them and tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. Again, look at the group of them. They've run away when he could have used them, at least for moral support. One has denied him. And, you know, the rest of them are just wondering, you know, what do we do next? Where do we go from here? Are they after us too? And Jesus, instead of being upset with them, gives them a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And the interesting thing about today is we're going to see for the first time young Annabelle will be receiving the Holy Spirit, that wonderful gift, that peace, that thing that's going to bring her into this congregation, into this church, into this community of people who sometimes have some doubts about things in their faith, people who may feel that there are times that they turned away from Christ, but they've come back again. This congregation is not so different from those disciples that Jesus met in that room at that time. And we can expect that indeed Jesus is here and soon will be present in his body and blood on the altar. He has forgiven us just as he forgave them. He has wished peace on us and the Holy Spirit, just as he did for them. There's, of course, that one more person that was not there that night, and that was Thomas. The other 10, because, of course, at this point, one of them is gone, the other 10 were there, And they try to convince Thomas that, yes, indeed, the Lord has risen. We've seen him. And Thomas maybe doesn't doubt so much that it's happened as, you know, how did this happen? How is it that he's risen? How is it that you saw him? How is it that the doors were locked and he appeared to you? It's difficult to wrap your mind around that. And so, you know, he says something that sounds really reasonable to me. Unless I see the marks in his hands, and if I can touch them and touch that wound in his side, unless I can do that, you know, it's really hard for me to believe. It's just hard. And so he does join them on that second night. And lo and behold, just as it happened before, Jesus appears to them one more time. Now, the interesting thing is they recognize him. They can see that it's him. But boy, there's something different about him because he didn't used to just appear and disappear like he is now. So something is different, but something's the same. How do we go forward? And one of the things that he tells them that we need to learn is the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that's the hallmark of being a Christian. Every gospel, in one way or another, talks to us about forgiveness. And so he tells us, you know, this is the hallmark. As I've forgiven you, you need to forgive others. When you forgive people, their sins are taken away. When you retain them, not only are they going to suffer, but you are too. Think of a grudge that you might hold and how you hold on to whatever it was that was the hurt that was done against you. When you don't forgive that, you carry it around with you. And make no mistake. And until you learn to forgive and let go of it, you will retain it. One of the things that I'd like to pray again with you is what we heard in our opening collect. And I think it's something that really helps us to understand, you know, who we are as the people of God and who we are in Christ Jesus. We pray that, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. And what is it that we profess? It's that in the Paschal mystery, the new covenant of reconciliation has been established. The new covenant of reconciliation has been established. And John, of course, is the one many chapters before that told us that what God's idea is to reconcile the whole world to himself. And that he begins that through Jesus. Because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that's only the beginning of that thought, because the next verse tells us that God did not come to condemn the world, but that all the world should be reconciled to him. So what has to happen for reconciliation to take effect? The first step is forgiveness. We need to ask God for the grace to forgive those things that have hurt us, those sins that have been done against us, and to be able to let go of that so that reconciliation has a chance to take hold. Because the other half of reconciliation is the other person has to be willing to forgive too and to let go. And once those two things have happened, then there might come to be a meeting of the minds there might come to be a grace of reconciliation between people. But until both of those sides have really taken forgiveness to the level of being able to do it, reconciliation only has a chance, maybe, eventually, to take place. There are people in Jesus' life that he extended forgiveness to, but until and unless they were willing to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness themselves, that reconciliation could not take place. And I'm thinking primarily in Jesus' life of when he was on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, they do not know what they are doing." Now, we do not know if any of the people who were complicit in bringing him to his death ever asked forgiveness for that. But if they did, then there's the chance that they could be reconciled with Christ. Otherwise not, because the inner being of who they were was so different from the inner being of who Jesus is, that something would drastically have to change for reconciliation to take place. But I want you to note well that Jesus' forgiveness did take hold. Forgiveness needs to happen first if reconciliation is to go forward. So as we go forward with this life in Christ, you know, we can, as a community, can be thrilled that here we are bolstering each other. Here we are accepting the Holy Spirit's grace into our lives so that we can live lives of forgiveness and reconciliation. And here we are as a community ready to welcome yet one other new member into that community. And that's what we're welcoming her into. We're welcoming her into a community that understands we all have shortcomings. We're welcoming her into a community that also understands that Christ's grace and peace is with us to help be the best we can be. We're also a community that understands how to forgive and asks God for the grace to take that forward. The disciples at this point are just learning to know Jesus in this brand new way, learning to know that he's the same person, but there's something different. There's something more enlivened about him. And may we keep discovering that we too need to learn to love and take Jesus into the world in this new way. So, alleluia, our Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.